Let's get in the Word. You guys, I know you got to be ready for the Word. I am. I need it. How many of you guys need it today? Man, that blesses my heart because the Word of God is, it works, doesn't it? The Word works. And so, Lord, we come into your presence today and we need to hear a word from you, Father. Speak to us, Lord. I believe every one of us has come in here today and we're fighting a battle. I really do believe it, Lord. Your word shows us. And so I'm praying, God, that you open up our eyes to see how to fight and how to fight right. And so, Lord, speak to us today. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Father, take your hand off the pages so we can see clearly what you want to speak to us today. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. So, as we're closing out this series, Paul started this out. We're in a series called Ephesians, and we're finishing out today. And when Paul started this out, do you guys remember the way the book of Ephesians starts? It starts out with blessings, that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. We have God as our Father, who has predestined us, who has chose us, who has adopted us, and then we have God the Son who has forgiven us, and then we have God the Holy Spirit who has sealed us and filled us. And these are blessings that we can count on with the Lord. But the way Paul starts off is a lot different, or the way that he ends off is a lot different than the way he started off. He started off with blessings, and now, if you're familiar with Ephesians chapter 6 and the end of it, he ends with a battle. And here's why. Because after every blessing, you can count, there's going to be some battles. Amen? You can be doing fine, things are great, no issues. And then out of nowhere, we can become and engulfed in a spiritual battle. Like that old-time rocker Axl Rose used to say, "Welcome to the jungle, baby. You're going to die." But here's the good news. Here's the good news about it. He's not saved and he will, but we are saved and we're going to live. Jesus has given us life. He's given us his word. And it is a battle. We are in a spiritual battle, whether you realize it or not. How many of you guys are, just out of curiosity, are struggling in one right now? A spiritual battle. Paul's going to talk to us today about how to handle our hater, because we got a hater that we need to handle. And we're in a spiritual warfare. And when it comes to Satan, nothing's fair about his war. He fights dirty. Now, I don't believe that. Now, when I'm teaching this morning, you guys got to understand something. The devil's not omnipresent. Only God's omnipresent. Only God's omniscient. But the problem with it is that there is influences that are directed by Satan. And so as they go out and they reap warfare, there's nothing fair about it. And it gets ugly. And so what Paul does is he wants to close this out with us today, and he wants us to handle our hater. And he's going to show us how to do it. But before he starts that, he starts in verse 10 of chapter 6 of Ephesians. And he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Be strong in the Lord, not be strong in yourself, not be strong in your might. Now look, I may not know you, but I bet I do know something about you. I bet life has been difficult. I bet you have had some rough cards dealt to you. I bet you it has been a struggle. I do believe that about you, and I believe that you are strong. But I don't believe you're this type of strong. This is a kind of strong that over the years, whether you've been like, "I've made it my own way, I've wrestled it to the ground, I'll do whatever it takes to get on top, it'll work if I gotta force it," and maybe you've made it that way, and life's been that way for you, and you've been strong. But this is a spiritual battle that Paul says, look, it doesn't matter how strong you are. This is something that you gotta stand strong in the Lord. So no kind of kickboxing or you turning up corn or Slayer or Judas Priest and punching the bag is going to get you out of this one. We need to be strong in the strength of the Lord. How many of you guys remember when the UFC first started out? And I'm talking way back in the day. Now, when UFC started out, do you guys remember how it started out? It was no rules. And you could get into this octagon with anybody, and there was no gloves. You just get in there, you'd be fighting some 400-pound person, and you're like 165 pounds. And they used to get into that ring with no kind of padding, and they would work on boxing and kickboxing and stuff like that. Do you remember? They were fighters. All until this one little guy showed up on the scene named Hoist Gracie. And I'm going to tell you something. There was a fight where Hoist was fighting some guys like 400 pounds. This guy's like 165 pounds. And he took him down to the mat and he made him tap out in no time. And it changed the game because they saw that the way people fight is not by strength, but by being smart. And the UFC's never been the same again. Now it's all jiu-jitsu and going to the mat. Because that boxing stuff, it blew everybody's mind that this guy so small could beat a guy so big. And when it comes to what Paul's going to tell us today, he's looking at us, he's like, look, you may think you're small, but if you're smart, and it's a word to you, you may feel insignificant, you may be small. But if you get what he's saying and you fight smart, there's a battle that can be won that you're waging right now, and he's going to tell us how to do it. So Paul starts out, he says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and stand, check this out, this is how we do it. He says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. He's not talking about Under Armour. He's talking about the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I read that and I kind of had to hit the brakes a little bit because I'm like, the wiles? What's wiles? I still use a dictionary because I'm not as smart as some. The only thing I could think of was Wile E. Coyote. That's not him. That's not the one. Do you guys remember Wile E, though? I was a young fella watching that, and I just wished one day he'd kill that thing, that Roadrunner. Just one time, get him. But he would chase him, and he would watch the Roadrunner, didn't he? Don't you remember? He would set up big boulders on a canyon, and he'd wait for that little thing to run through, and then the boulder would end up rolling on him and messing him up, or he'd be messing with dynamite, and then it would blow up in his face. Do you remember that? Wile E. Coyote. And what Paul's saying is that, just to put it in simple terms for us simple folk, is that the devil is wily. He watches us. He examines us. He knows us. He knows what your hang-up is. He knows what you struggle with. He knows what puts fear in your heart. He knows what gives you anxiety at night and keeps you up and has got you worried, what gets you mad, what tempts you. And he observes us. You know, the word, when Job, do you guys remember when God was talking to the devil about Job? And that's never something you want to have happen with you, by the way. And God said, have you considered Job? And what did Satan say? Oh, yes, I have. And when he said, I have, the word considered there meant that Satan had been watching Job like a military strategist watches a battle looking for a hole to get in and win. And when Paul says stand firm in the wiles, against the wiles of the devil, what he's saying is he knows you. And he knows how to get to you. He knows how to influence you. And what I liked about what Paul said was he didn't just say, go on to the devil's turf. Did you see it? He said, stand your ground. He didn't say, go into the devil's house and start messing stuff up on his turf. But instead, check this out, guard your turf. I had a guy that used to come to our church years ago. He doesn't come here anymore, and you don't know him. But he would come up to me and he'd say, Jason, I got a little side business that I think you ought to get in on with me, and it's exercising demons out of houses. And he thought, because I'm a legal pastor on paper, I can marry you and bury you, that he could get my credentials to his business and make a little extra money. And so he said, Jason, why don't you come out with me and do this with me, because we can make a little extra money on this. And this guy would go from house to house kicking out demons. And you know, I said, man, I don't need that in my life right now. I got my own business at home I'm dealing with, and you're asking me to go out and step out in the devil's turf and start kicking him out of people's houses. I ain't going with you doing that. And what got me was this, is that this guy's house, although he was exercising demons out of everybody else's house, his house was the biggest mess in the world. Lost his first wife to dope, second wife to dope, third wife to dope. Lost his kids, lost his job, lost his house, lost his income. I mean, you just put lost and he had it. And what blew my mind is that he was going through the devil's door while he was leaving his back door wide open. And for so many Christians, you know what they do? They go in like they're going to march in and take over turf instead of watching their own. And you know what happens? The devil goes right in the back door. They'll go into the porn shop carrying their signs, right? You're all going to hell. Porn's of the devil. Repent. Oh, that'll work. Everybody's going to get saved because of that. They're going to quit their job and start teaching Sunday school now because you went in there with that sign. Here's an idea. How about you stand your ground before you think you're going to start taking ground? Did you notice what he said? Just stand where you are. Because I promise you, you got enough stuff you're dealing with right where you're at. Amen? We don't need to go. Paul says you don't need to be going to looking for trouble. Trouble's already right there where you're at. Stand your ground. That's what he says. He says, stand your ground. Protect what's yours. Stand fast. Verse 12, here's why. He says, because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Now, none of that sounds good to me. Wrestling, that's like up close smelling the devil's morning breath. Hand-to-hand combat. I would be much more into texting myself. But he says, you're wrestling, not with flesh and blood. And so you know what that tells me right there? There's something implied by that. That if you're saved, you're going to have a spiritual struggle. But Joel Osteen said, I don't care what Joel said. If you're saved, you're going to have some struggle. You better believe it. You're going to have a fight like none other fight that you've ever been in when we get saved. He says it's not against flesh and blood. And sometimes we say, you know, but God's never going to put me through nothing that I can't handle. Really? Where's that at in the Bible? Did I just mess with some of you guys right there? Have you ever heard that? God will never put me through more than I can handle. It doesn't say that. Show me it. After church, get me aside and show me where it says that. You know what God will put you through? What he can handle. Doesn't matter if you can handle it or not. The reality of it is you probably can't. But where we're weak, he is. Yeah. And he says it. He says that we're going to be in a struggle. And if you're here today and you're like, Jason, man, I am going through something right now that is gnarly. And I'm getting tired of fighting, and it is a fight, and I've been dealing with this for a while, and I don't know when it's going to stop, and I don't know why it's happening. Hey, the reason why you're struggling is because you're still growing. If you weren't growing, you wouldn't be struggling. People who grow don't struggle. Did you know that? If you're not struggling against the world, if you're not struggling against your flesh, if you're not struggling against the devil, guess what? There's no growth there. You're not a threat. There's nothing about you that the devil thinks he's got to deal with. But I'll tell you this, if you're growing, you're going to be struggling. And I want to encourage you. That struggle is because of growth. You're getting stretched. This is how God does it. We got to stretch if we're going to grow. And so he says, you're going to be wrestling. There's going to be a spiritual battle if you're saved. And what he wants us to understand about that growing is that we can spend a lot of time focusing on people instead of focusing on what's spiritual. What did he say in verse 12? For we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood. So the battle that some of you might have had with your husband this week where it got out of hand and some words were said that normally aren't said, or that person that you've been helping with your money and your time and your resources, helping them get on their feet, and then they treat you like an enemy and hate your guts and say all these bad things about you around town. You having that nervous breakdown at work because that's not where you want to be and your boss is nuts. You know where this is coming from? It's influence. It's not flesh and blood. Paul says it's spiritual. It's not physical. And he says that's who our battle is with, that we're wrestling with it. Let me tell you guys something about what he's saying. The greatest enemy that we fight aren't the people we see, but the things that we don't see. This is the problem. This is our issue. It's what we're not seeing because there's an influence there. Now, I'm going to be honest with you guys, and this is kind of weird, and I don't like admitting this, but I will tell you right now, I can be influenced super easy. Now, I'm not saying necessarily with sin, but like buying stuff. So if you're selling cookies or whatever, I'll tell you right now, I'll go into debt. Like, I'll just buy everything that you got. How many of you guys get influenced by people? Anybody? You guys are all strong. Nobody moves you. Good for you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good. If they're selling vitamins for $400, I'm like, I'm down. Sign me up. In fact, you know what? That happened one time, and Vicky got so mad because they got $400 out of our account, and I got a box of 80-count vitamins. And she's like, are you stupid? What are you doing? I'm like, they said it would work. It would, like, make me look 15 years younger. So I bought them. I went to Walmart this week, and I was looking at meat. And I didn't know what to get because I had been eating pork chops every day for 2 weeks. I know. That's just how I do it. I'm weird. And so I'm looking. I don't know what to do. This woman comes up to me. And I don't know this girl like this. She said, Jason, she didn't say Jason, she don't know me. She says, hey, you know what you need? Come over here. And I'm like, okay. And here I'm following this complete stranger. I'm like, she's the boss, whatever. Like, I don't even know her, right? And Vicky's nowhere around. And she goes, you know what you need? You need these baby back ribs right here. Put them in the oven for 350 for 3 hours, and that meat is going to fall right off those bones. That's what you need. And you know what? In my heart, what I was thinking, I don't want all that fat. And so you know how I said, oh, thank you so much. I grabbed them. I put them in my cart, and I left. I took the baby back ribs. I was like, thank you, like I wanted it. Then I go over to the wax aisle, you know where they sell the wax burners? This is no joke. I'm over there with another woman, and I don't know how I'm getting along with all these women. But I'm in the wax warming aisle looking for wax now. I got these baby back ribs, and I'm looking for wax. And she says, you know what? And I wrote it down because this was just insane to me that she even said this. She says, you know what you need? She says, you need plumera petals. Plumera petals. She's like, smell this. I don't know her. And I smell it, and it was like urine. It was horrible. I was like, and you know what I said? This is what I lied. I said, that smells great. And I threw it in my cart, and I left. I find Vicky. And I said, you're never going to believe what just happened to me. I said, I just got hit up by two women. I said, this one woman made me buy these baby back ribs, and this other girl's got me putting plumera petals in the cart. And I said, what's the problem? She goes, you know what, Jason? She thinks you're a stupid man and need help shopping. I was like, okay, I get it. But I'm going to tell you something about the devil and these spiritual forces that we're fighting. They're influencers. They can get in and distort what's right. And they can influence us to do things. Now, if you're saved, I don't believe you can be possessed, but I do believe that you can be influenced. And if we don't have God's truth, we'll be influenced to buy the lies of the devil. Jesus said in John 8:44, he says, the devil's a liar. He's a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. You remember how he got a hold of Eve? Influenced her, got her to doubt, lie to her, and she bought into the lie. And I think that the devil does that with us too, doesn't he? About our kids. You know, sometimes for those of you raising kids and maybe you had an abusive spouse, the devil come to you and say, hey, you know what? Your kid's going to end up just like he was. Devil come to some of you, no one's ever going to really love you. You know, they just take from you. They just use you. Your marriage ain't going to get fixed. The devil will come. I'm going to tell you guys what. He sees us. He knows us. He examines us. And he lies to us. And what Paul is saying is that this isn't an issue of flesh and blood. And so what Paul says that we need to do, check this out. The first thing that we need to do, Paul says, verse 14, that we need to start getting our focus straight. That we're fighting against spiritual hosts. Let's go back to that. Spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, when he's saying spiritual host, he's not talking about Jimmy Kimmel. He's talking about these forces in the Hebrew, it's an army that's almost uncountable, that's in the heavenly places. We don't know, and here's our problem. We don't know when they're going to show up. We don't know what they're thinking. We don't know why they think that way. We don't know what they're going to do. And so Paul says, when it comes down to it, there's only one thing that we can do. Verse 13, he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to do, stand. So the dream catcher you bought at Walmart for your rearview mirror is not going to work. He's like, when you've done all that you can do, stand, because he knows that I am, you are, we are in a spiritual battle against Satan. And he says that you may be able to stand within the evil day. Now, the evil day is not a day that's coming when Paul says that. He's talking about it's already come. In fact, when we experience the fall, it's been evil every day since. And it's not getting any better. And so Paul says this is what we need to do, being that the day is evil and we're dealing with spiritual haters. He says in verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, when I looked at that, I thought that was pretty insane, because here, this is a battle for your life. This is the greatest battle you're ever going to face. This is why there's rape. This is why there's murder. This is why there's people ripping people off and beating each other down. It's because of this right here. And you know what Paul says? He says, when you're getting ready to go into this battle, he goes, check this out. You know what you need? A belt. I read that. I was like, really? A belt, Paul? Like, that's what I'm going to go into battle with, is a belt. Man, you ain't got something bigger than that, something better than that. But here's the thing about it. See, back in the day, the men used to wear what looked like muumuus. Come on, how many of you guys remember muumuus? Your grandma wore them. You probably got a couple in the closet with the flower print, the floral print. And if you'd ever go over to grandma's house when you were about 7 or 8, even if you were a boy, she'd make you wear them. Watching Days of Our Lives in General Hospital. I've heard stories. But they used to wear these muumuus. Like, it was just a big muumuu. And if that thing wasn't tightened up, if it wasn't tightened up, what would happen is the enemy would just grab a hold of that muumuu and stab you to death. And so everything had to get tightened up. And what Paul does is he looks at it and he says, the word of God is like that. That you need the belt of truth. You need God's word in your life, because God's truth is where everything hangs on in your life. And you need to know what God is saying to you about truth. Everything depends upon truth. And what Satan will do is he'll get you to doubt the truth of God. That's where it starts. And then Paul says in verse 14, he says, after you've taken that belt of truth, because that's where everything starts, you need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. It's kind of like a bad relationship. You know, I don't know if you've been in one, but if you have, and you guys break up, what they do is they're going to go for your head and your heart. Am I talking to anybody? Have you ever been in a bad relationship before and you broke up? You know where they're going? They're going for your mind to destroy you there, and they're going to go for your heart to mess you up there too. And that's what Paul says when he says breastplate. You put on a breastplate of the righteousness. That's what the original says, not the breastplate of righteousness, but the breastplate of righteousness. Because what he's saying is, this isn't a breastplate of righteousness that you put on, but it's the breastplate of Christ's righteousness that we put on. In other words, it's a breastplate of righteousness, not performance. Because listen, if it came down to our performance, we would be messed up. And you need to have a sense of righteousness about you when you're fighting your enemy. Because if you don't, all that stuff we've done, all the stuff we still do, and all the stuff we're going to do is going to have an effect on the way we fight. It'll tear down any kind of spiritual strength that we have if we let them get in. And here's the thing about it. We do know that we do unrighteous things. If you're going to tell me, hey, Jason, you know, I do pretty good. I pay my bills. I got a retirement. Things are okay. I've never cheated on my husband or whatever. It doesn't mean you're not a sinner. It just means you know how to hide it better. Because, see, there's people in here, and you know, we're in church. So we all look good in church. Everybody's perfect here. But we're just good at hiding. That's all. We learned how to hide good. See, the Bible tells us in 1 John verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So the reality of it is that we do sin. We do have unrighteousness. If you think you're going to walk out of here and you're going to beat that system, let me know next week when I see you how you did. And you know, we all sin, and here's why. Sometimes because we want to. Sometimes because you're scared. Sometimes because you're tired. Sometimes because you're stressed. Sometimes you got some stuff going on, and what happens is we don't know how to deal with it all the time, all the way, and so we fall into this sin, and sometimes we actually jump into it. But Paul's saying we need to put on the breastplate of his righteousness, not our performance. And that speaks to me, because there's a lot of times where I'll be getting with the Lord, and I'll pray, and there's Satan. You think God's going to listen to you after what you did? You think he's going to answer that prayer? You think he's going to come through for you again after you drop the ball with him again? And Jason, by the way, if it wasn't for Jesus, you would be nothing, and we both know it. This is the stuff I get. I don't know what goes on with you, but this is the stuff I get. And you know what I tell the devil? You know what I say about that? I say, you are absolutely right. If it was not for Christ, I would be nothing. But guess what? It is because of Christ, and I got a lot going on. I've got the breastplate of righteousness. It is because of his righteousness, not our performance. And so Paul, he says, get the breastplate of righteousness. Say it with me, I'm righteous. One more time like you mean it. It just feels weird the first time. But you got to keep doing it. I'm righteous. It's not about performance, but about his righteousness. And somehow I think that everybody's got a sense that they're righteous a little bit. You'll talk to people, and I get this. They're like, Jason, when I die and I go to heaven, that there's a big scale up there. And there's good, and then there's bad. And my good is going to outweigh my bad. I'm like, really? How so? Well, I never stole dope. I always paid full price for them 8 balls. I ain't never slept with my friend's girlfriend, man. It was just strippers who were single. I never got drunk at work. It was just at home every night. Why? Because I'm righteous. It's crazy, but true, isn't it? You know people like this. But here's the thing, the good, your good's never going to outweigh your bad. We got to have Jesus. We got to have that. He says in verse 15, the next thing he says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I love that he said that, because as Paul's writing this, he's looking at a Roman soldier who's all done up in this outfit, and he looks at his feet and he's like, man, if you're going into battle, Crocs ain't going to work. You're going to need some traction. Why? Because the devil doesn't get us to ruin our life all at once, does he? It's not like he says, hey, here's an idea. Why don't you get hooked up on dope, go rob a bank, and then kill somebody? And you're like, yeah, that sounds great. It's little slippings of traction. And so what Paul says, he's like, get some traction. And the place that you find it, check this out. This is going to speak to somebody. I love this. He says the place that we get traction is shodding our feet with the gospel of peace, not the gospel of prosperity. He didn't say shod your feet with health, wealth, and prosperity. He said shod your feet with the gospel of peace. Could you imagine that? Going around, how about you go to India and you start preaching a prosperity gospel to people who are bathing their infants in sewer water? Or you go down to Venezuela and you start telling them, hey, I want to preach to you the wealth gospel. Or you go into hospice and you say, hey, I'm going to preach to you the health gospel. That's not going to preach. And that's why so many Christians are shook, because they're buying into this junk that's getting pimped on TV. And what God says and what his word says is forget all that. There's something much better. It's called the gospel of peace, because it doesn't matter where you are, it's always going to preach. It's going to preach in Venezuela. It's going to preach in hospice. It's going to preach all over the place. The gospel of peace, that we're made right with God, that our sins are forgiven, that we've got to live in hope, that's going to be all over the place. And what Paul says is, listen, that's where you guys have to have your foundation, is in the gospel of peace, because all that other stuff is just smoke screens. Ain't nothing there. Peace is much better than prosperity. Here's why, because if you ain't got no prosperity, a lot of people don't have no peace. But you can have peace and no prosperity, and you're going to be just fine. Paul says, shod your feet with the gospel of peace. And then in verse 16, check this out, as he's getting ready to wind this down, he's getting ready to close it up. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so what Paul's saying is there's these shields, and they were like 4 foot long and 2 foot wide. And they were made to clip to each other, and they would be drenched in like a liquid. So when the fiery darts would hit, it would extinguish on these shields. But the cool thing about this that I found out that I thought was kind of interesting is how these shields worked, because they weren't meant to just like be carried one by one. They were meant to be locked into each other side by side. Have you ever seen it? It's like a turtle. They go into battle and there's like 15 of them and they're all locked up and they create like this shell around them and they're going into battle and they got all this kind of protection around them. Paul's like, yeah, that's what we need to do as believers. We need to lock in with the shield of faith. And that's why when we come here and we're doing worship and we're getting into the word, and we're fellowshipping, and we're praying for each other, this is where we lock in, and we get sound in the Lord and in our faith. He's saying, take up the shield of faith. Man, have you guys ever noticed, like, the worst things happen at, like, unusual times? Like, if you want to come to church, yeah, let's just say, forget that. How about this? If you want to go ride your motorcycle today, let's just say there's people here, there's people not here today. And let's just say they wanted to go ride their motorcycles out in the desert. You know what? You're going to be blessed doing it. It's going to be great. Your wife's going to make you a sandwich. Kids are going to be fine. You can go out there and ride that motorcycle all that you want. But if you want to come to church, one of your kids is going to end up drinking bleach. You're going to end up getting in a fight with your wife. Your car's going to break down. Everything's going to be a mess. You know, some of the biggest fights I ever had with Vicky was on my way to church or reading the Bible. Man, you guys can scroll through Instagram, eBay, Amazon all day long, all alert. But as soon as you read that Bible, it's like you just got shot in the neck with a tranquilizer. All repentant. I'm sorry, Lord, I'm such a sinner. Your word is everything. And you're like going out, right? Does that happen to anybody or is it just me? And then I start repenting and then I'm like, God, I'm such a heel. Like, I can't believe it. I'm like, I'll watch Facebook for 15 hours, but then when it comes, I'm just so tired. It's darts. But what he's saying is that we got to hook together. And then in verse 17, check this out. He says, and take the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Every battle that you face is going to start right there in your mind. Right there in your head. Paul says you need to put on the helmet of salvation. It's kind of like I had an Apple computer and it had all this information on it. And I tried to add another program and you know what happened? It just broke down because it couldn't handle it. And I believe what Paul's saying is when we take the helmet of salvation, what he's saying is that we've got to put so much of God in our mind, in our life, that if anything else comes from outside that's contrary to that, it's just not going to fit. And here's why. Because we've only got a limited space anyway. He says, put on the helmet of salvation. And people are like, well, that's brainwashing, Jason. Yeah, because we got filthy brains. And we need to fill them up with the things of the Lord. He says, put the helmet of salvation on. Now Paul closes out with this. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Worship team, come on up. That's the number one thing. Listen, when we're fighting, we need the word of God. We got to know it. We got to memorize it. We got to spend time with it. You remember when Jesus was doing battle with the devil and he was being tempted and he was hungry. I'm sure he was thirsty. And the devil would come to him with all of those temptations. And what did Jesus say? Man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word of God. And he knew the word and he would fight with the word. Now listen, just think about it for a second. Let's say the next time you got in an argument or you got in a fight, or there was one going to happen. If you knew the word and the scripture came to your mind, when there's an abundance of words, sin is not absent. And you're like, whoa, wait a second. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to be slow to speak and quick to listen. And you start living by this. And you're going through a temptation. And you're like, man, this is so strong. I'm never going to get through it. And then the word of God comes to you and says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Or with every temptation, God will provide a way of escape. But we got to know the word of God. And that's what he says. He says, that's how we fight. Our battles is with this sword of truth, with God's word. Now, this is what I want to close out with this morning. If you guys would stand with me for a moment, we're going to close out in a worship song. But I want to close out with this idea that Paul's trying to convey to us when we look at all of this. Because there's just a lot of stuff right there. And I don't know I think you should remember all of those things, but I also know it's kind of difficult to remember them all. We had the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the shodding our feet with the gospel of peace, and then the sword of the Spirit, of the truth, of the Word of God. And I believe what Paul is saying is this, and this is something very interesting, and I want you to go home and read this by yourself tonight. When you look at everything Paul just got done giving us, did you notice he didn't give you one thing to cover your backside? Did you see that in the text? And here's why. When Paul says this is how you handle your haters, you don't turn and run. You stand firm, fully armored up in the presence of the Lord and in your enemy. There's nothing, there's no protection for your backside. And I want to ask you this morning, are you running from something today? Are you going back into some bad habits because you're stressed out? Are you trying to fill your day up with shopping? Are you hanging out with some people that God told you, I don't want you messing with? Are you turning and running because it's getting tough? We handle our haters. This is what we do by standing our ground. And I want to encourage you this morning. I don't know, maybe you're here today and you're like, Jason, I'm just tired and this whole Christianity thing doesn't work and I'm sick of fighting and I'm just finished. If that's you, I want to tell you guys today, you need to start fighting this battle, not in your strength, but in His strength. That's going to be the game changer in your life. And if you're here today and you're just like, Jason, man, it's so hard. I'm struggling and I'm fighting. I got all these fears about my kids or our marriage or our relationship or my future, all this stuff the devil's putting into my mind. And it's so hard and I'm trying. Listen, armor up and stand firm. This isn't the time that you give up and run and go the other direction because there's no protection for the backside. Stand firm in the Lord. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. And I want to pray today, Lord, for the one that has come in here today and they are in a spiritual battle. We want to lock together right now in this room with our brothers and sisters with the shield of faith on their behalf. For the person to the left, for the person to the right. Lifting them up before you, God, and saying, give them strength, God, that they may stand in your strength and in your might. Lord, it's a battle too strong for us. We can't do it. We need you, Lord. So I pray that you strengthen us, Father, and that we remember not to turn around, but to stand our ground. In Jesus' name, church said, amen.